morning, good morning, and good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off a Feel the Podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. I hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday weekend. I know that it was a little different. When someone asked me today how my holiday was, I said it was quaint. but I enjoyed myself. I participated in a family Zoom with my folks back home in Detroit and spent the day, the actual day, with my COVID circle, which comprises of my best friends and my best friend's husband. And so it was just the four of us. We ate, and we ate very, very well. So shouts out to everybody who contributed, who brought something, who cooked something, who baked something, because it was all great. We drank and we played Monopoly. And so, you know, that is the piece de resistance. If Monopoly is involved, I'm in it, you know? And even though I did not win. I know this is shocking for those of you who follow my social media, because you know that I am a Monopoly champ, but I didn't win. But I created the fire and the fervor in people to want to play again, which is the win for me. Because I love the game just that much that I'm okay with not winning if it means that I can play more regularly. And so people are already ready for a rematch, and I'm down for that. For all the Monopoly haters out there, get a life. Have better family and friends, because it really is the bomb diggity. Not good for NAC. Anyway, not gonna harp on that. Hope you guys had an opportunity to not only enjoy that day, whatever it looked like for you and your family and your friends, but that you also got a chance to relax last week, which I did. And let me tell you, I worked Monday, but I took the rest of the week off, and it was the best decision that I could have made for myself, because guess what? Like I've said in previous posts, and like I've been telling other people, well, one, I had a lot of time that I needed to burn, and I was going to lose some days. And if you also know me, you know I'm not big on losing time. I want to use every ounce of time that I have, and I planned out as much of this month as I possibly could, keeping in mind that I still had work that needed to be finished by the end of the year. And I still have time that I'm carrying over to the new year, which will be great, because I'll be going through a transition, and so it'll work out perfect to have that time available to me in first quarter where I can use it. So I'm grateful for that. But you know, the things that we normally would do to decompress, to get away, go to the gym for those of us who have not returned, or in spaces and places where we can't return or did return, but our cities are shutting down again because the numbers are going up. For those of us who would get regular massages or get regular manicures and pedicures, although some of these things you can kind of do again. You know, people who are getting facials, people who would go out of town to a beach vacation, you know, those things that we would normally do to kind of get away and decompress from our very busy, hectic lives, we don't have access to it. We're home. And so when we do take time off, we're home. And we're still very much so tethered to our work. And I decided to just totally shut down. I did work lightly on Tuesday to get some things done, but it was good to not have to respond to emails, not have to take calls, because I was officially off. So no one was looking for me or expecting anything from me, which was great. But after that, I shut my computer down and didn't open it back up until I did participate in some Zooms with some friends and, of course, with family. So I was on my computer for that. You know, shut off call forwarding so my phone wouldn't be ringing, and nobody called or left me messages while I was out anyway, which was great. But it was just great to just decompress and not be bothered, and I didn't think about it. You know, I watched TV, I caught up on some things, finished some things off, started some new things, and it was great. And we need that. We definitely need that. And I encourage anybody who still has time to try to find a way to take it, even if it's a half a day here or a half a day there, or a day. You know, maybe you want to take off Fridays for the remainder of the year, which at this point you only have four or five weeks. Take off Fridays, or take off Mondays, or take off Wednesdays, but just find some time to use some of that time that you've been allotted so you don't lose it. Of course, if you can carry it over, then that's great. But just some time to just decompress and to relax, relate, release, and kind of get away. But enough about that, enough about me. Some things I want to talk about. A couple things have happened over the weekend that have kind of blown up social media. People have been talking about it. It depends on what space you're in. And I think that it's important to talk about it because as Black folk, it's very easy for us to call out when there is a lack of empathy or consideration shown towards us. But we can be so unkind to one another. And it's difficult. Well, it's not difficult. Actually, it's very easy, but it's hypocritical to demand that level of kindness from other people, that other level of patience for other people in other communities when we're unwilling to extend that to ourselves. One situation in particular, I don't know how many of my co-hosts listen to gospel music, but the Walls group, the eldest brother, Daryl Walls, and arguably the leader of the group, posted an intimate moment between him and his partner, who happens to be a man, via social media. He did it on IG. He did it via the close friends option. So for those of you who are not familiar, on IG, there's a close friends option. You select your close friends list, and you can choose when you send out videos, and I believe it's just your stories. You can send it to just your close friends. So I have a number of friends who do this. Like, I have friends who have children, and they don't necessarily want their children's images to be all over the internet, but they want to share, you know, things about their child as their child grows, as they learn, you know, the joy of being a parent. They want to share those things with people who, because of proximity, don't get an opportunity to see it, you know. And it's great for like friends and family that are away or whatever the case is. Anyway, there's a close friends option. You can share things through close friends. So from what I gather, he shared the video via close friends, and it's him and this guy and they're kissing, you know. And it's sweet. It really is sweet. It's a very endearing moment. It's playful. It's jovial. It literally is that you can see it. It's a cute moment and you can feel it. You know, you can feel the love within this video. And to be quite honest, when I saw it, that was my reaction. Well, let's be clear. When I first saw it, I was shocked. I was shocked because I've said this on numerous occasions, that there is a difference between assumption and confirmation. So you can, and I have horrible dark, so don't quote me on this, or don't, it's not don't quote me on this, but I have horrible dark. So, you know, it has to be very obvious for me even to tune in. But nonetheless, there's a difference between assumption and confirmation. And you can assume something about someone or something about a situation, but it particularly if it's something that you don't want to believe, you can always find a reason to explain it away, to excuse it away. But at the moment you're giving confirmation of something, it's hard to ignore it. And that's where the process begins. Whatever that process is, the process of acceptance, the process of denial, it all starts there at that moment. And so I was shocked that it was out. Just shocked that it was out, you know. But after I got over the initial shock of it just being out, I was like, but I think that that's so sweet. And I think that that is so wonderful, because everybody deserves to have what I saw and what I felt when I watched that video, you know. Obviously, in the gospel community, in the church community, everyone is not in alignment on how they feel about certain things. And this is certainly one of them. But what I say to that, because I don't want to, that's a whole nother episode. But in the interest of talking about kindness towards each other, patience towards each other, a more forbearing and gentle nature towards each other, whether he wanted it to be out, you know, whether someone outed him or whatever the case is, you know, this duality that people feel forced upon them, that they have to live, where they can't walk in purpose and be happy, is something that the community, the Black church community, has created. You know, it's not something that just came out of nowhere. We've put people in positions to say that you can live the life that we want you to live. You can live this life and still do your music and still be successful. But if you want to do anything opposite or you know, adversarial to what we say or how we say you should live, then you're going to have a problem. And people are just tired of living in the shadows because it's exhausting. It's exhausting to have everything that you ever could imagine in one hand and then in the other hand have nothing. And not because you can't have it, not because you're not capable of having it, not because there's not someone willing to give it to you, but because somebody says you can't have both because this is displeasing or this is an abomination or this is a sin or this is that or this is that. And it's exhausting. I watched a video of him singing this morning from a live that he did yesterday because he hasn't responded or said anything about it. He shouldn't have to because it's none of our goddamn business. Either you're going to listen to his music and you're going to support him as an artist because he's good and he's talented, or you're not. Plain and simple. But, you know, that pressure that a person feels that they have to respond, they have to say something. And I think that he responded in the best way he knew how, with his gift. And it was all that I needed to, it's all that I needed to hear. He doesn't have to say anything else. You know, people are going to fight his battles for him. You know, he has a very tight-knit family. Obviously, his siblings are impacted by this. And so, you know, they've posted, they've said things. Not directly, but definitely indirectly about just the industry and the things that they have to deal with and not being able to live their lives and not being able to be free because it's tough. You know what I'm saying? It's tough. I just want to do music. I just want to sing because this is my gift and this is what I had fun doing. But it's all this stuff that comes along with it. And yes, we all know with fame, with notoriety, these are some of the things that kind of go hand in hand, and it's tough. But his response was just eloquent to me. That was the response. That's all that we needed to hear. It was a beautiful medley, and I just want us as a body, for those of us who are believers, to evolve in our thinking. People are weary of giving their talent, their time, their tenth, their dedication, their sweat, their tears, with all of these conditions about who they can be while operating in that space. You want everything from a person and then some. So I give you everything. A person gives you everything and then you want more. And then you say, now that I've exhausted you, oh, but you can't do this and you can't be this and you can't go here and you can't be with that. But yet there's so much grace extended to other behaviors that I think are way more damaging to the body of Christ, way more damaging to the community, the Black community, to the Black family, that we dismiss or we ignore or we brush under the rug. You know, I don't know how anybody, because to me this isn't a scandal. See, scandals are different. You know, Bishop Eddie Long was involved in a scandal. John Gray is involved in scandals. Those to me are more damaging. This is just a person who is living his truth. He has every right to do that. And we have to get to a place where we, even if we don't agree, and that's fine, because we always talk about free will, so you have the ability to disagree. Do it more quietly. Do it like the little girl says in the video, that's too loud. Do it nicely. You know what I'm saying? Like, and just move on. A person should be able to operate in their gift and also have the life that they want for themselves. And there are so many people who have come before him, again, speculation, nothing that I can necessarily prove, but definitely there's a lot of stories and other people in the industry who could attest to these things and affirm and confirm them. But there are so many people who have lived their lives suppressed, trying to make other people happy, trying to live up to some impossible standard while other people around them are running amok and doing whatever the hell they want to do. And it's killed them, and it's killed their families, and it's hurt a tremendous amount of people. You know, when we talk about church hurt, a lot of church hurt is born in this whole concept of shaming and condemning a person for doing something that you fundamentally disagree with, and making it your business as a Christian, and I put that in air quotes, you know, to chastise and disapprove and cast upon all of these dispersions upon people because somewhere you've read in the Bible and you've translated that that's what God asks you to do, that you have a responsibility to condemn and to shackle and to oppress people for the love of God and in the name of God. And that's bullshit, and we need to get off that because it doesn't help us. There are other things that are causing more damage, more harm to us than some man who found some man he loved, who put a video out where he displayed that love and affection, and that was a whole thing because it ain't a thing. So I'm going to move on from that and talk about the next thing that I saw this week that pressed upon me the importance of us being kinder to one another. You know, we often talk about the importance of supporting each other, the importance of supporting Black business, and you know, there's these memes and there's these videos and there's these posts, IG posts, where you have a plethora of different companies that do this. Is that you want a candle, buy it from Black and Candle. You want groceries, go to Jeanette's Black Grocery Store. You want to buy a hair care products, there's a plethora of people to buy hair care products. And that's great. And I think that that is wonderful. Yes, we understand that Black businesses typically have some barriers for themselves in terms of distribution, which because of that requires them to charge a little bit more. They have to upcharge in a lot of ways for their particular product or service or whatever they're offering. And there's many of us who will make that sacrifice. And you know what? God damn it, I'm gonna pay that extra $20 because I want to try it. I want to support it. And if it's good, then you don't mind paying the extra money because we're not unaccustomed to paying additional money and outrageous fees for shit we want. You know, I argue with a really good friend of mine who's also a co-host, and she's gonna chuckle when she hears this. I argue with her about those fees associated with buying concert tickets. Not that any of us are going to concerts anytime soon, but I will drive my ass, my Black ass, to that Black ass box office and stand in that Black ass line to not have to pay them Black ass fees. So I don't have time for it. So, you know, for convenience sake, she'll buy the tickets online and she'll pay that $20, $30, $40 upcharge and fees, but not I, said the cat. If I got anything to do with it, I'll go and I'll drive, because when you go to the box office, a ticket that's $99.75 is $99.75 as opposed to $139.79. And I ain't got time for her. So I said all that to say, you know, we're not unaccustomed to paying a little bit more, waiting a little bit more for things that we want. But for whatever reason, we lose that kindness and that forbearing nature, that gentleness, when it comes to having a fundamental disagreement with a Black-owned business. You know, and let's be clear too, because this is two-sided. Listen to me. If you are a Black business owner, you need to treat all owners, you need to treat all patrons the same. If you're a business owner, but we don't specifically talk about Black folks now. If you're a Black business owner, you need to treat all patrons the same. Everybody who comes into the establishment should get the same level of treatment, you know, the same quality of treatment. Oftentimes, I've been in situations, me personally, where you're being served by a person, a black person, and they're ultra comfortable with you as if you're not a patron. And I understand that people want to be familiar and that's all good, but you know, sometimes it's a little too far. You know, I've experienced where it's a little too far, you know. So I've worked in food service before. I know you're tired. I know you're on your feet, but to come to the table and pop a squat and take a seat and like, ooh, you mind if I sit down a spell and take your order? Yeah, I do mind. I do mind. And I don't care who you are, black, white, purple, blue, green, fine, ugly. I care. You know what I'm saying? That's not what we do, because you wouldn't do that other places. So, you know, we have to work on that, our interactions with one another and being respectful of the relationship between a service provider and a patron, because it makes a difference. But we as black people who are patronizing these businesses also have to be a little bit more respectful of that space and whatever the rules may be, even if we don't agree with them, we abide by those particular rules. So I'm talking about an incident that happened in Dallas, Texas. There's this restaurant. It's supposed to be this high-end restaurant. And apparently there were patrons there and they were twerking. Now, keep in mind, there's a live DJ and drinks are flowing. But there was a patron. They were patrons at a table. And I didn't watch the video in entirety because I didn't need to get the gist of what's going on. But apparently they were twerking. And it wasn't so much that they were twerking, but I think they were twerking upon his furniture. And that was the main issue. It was where they were twerking, not the fact that they were twerking, but where they were twerking. And apparently they were asked on, you know, more than one occasion to not twerk on the furniture. Okay, fine. I guess they didn't heed the nice interaction, the nice warning from, I'm assuming, the manager or the owner. And so then he came to the middle of the floor, cut the music, and publicly expressed to the patrons how he felt. And in his public expression, he basically said, and if you don't like the rules, you can get the fuck out of my establishment, you know. And some of that was prefaced by saying, you know, this is a nice high-end restaurant. I'm trying to create a nice space, something nice for black people to come to. And then you come here and you kind of disrespect the place and it creates this whole big issue, whatever the case is. And so, you know, there's been a lot of debate this great day about how that went down and how it shouldn't went down and what was said. This is what I believe, because you're here and it's my opinion and you don't have to agree with it, but I tend to err on the side of logical. So listen, this is, as a business owner, let me say what I believe should have happened. If there are clearly defined rules of conduct in a particular establishment, then we good. You know, they're posted, you know what's going on. I've been places where, you know, you don't put your feet on this, you don't go through this door, you don't do this. If you put this seat down, turn this seat on, turn the light off, you know, it gives you clear defined rules of what's going on. So if they're clear defined rules, you're great. But if they're not, and you feel the need to isolate patrons and say, hey, I know we're all here having a good time and I think that's great. Thanks for patronizing my establishment. Thanks for coming in or whatever the case is. May I ask a favor of you? You know, I dance, have a good time, but if you could refrain from pop locking and dropping on my furniture, I would greatly appreciate that. Bam. You say it, you know this is still going on. You say, hey, I'm back again. Yeah. Again, want you to have a good time. But guess what? I really need you to refrain from pop locking and dropping on my furniture. You know what I'm saying? It's expensive furniture, whatever the case is. Whatever. Personal conversation you're having with these particular patrons about what's going on. You know, it's like, chill. And then the hope is that if you're the person who's involved in this behavior and you're with a group of people, that somebody be like, all right, girl, chill out. You know, I mean, we all trying to have a good time, but we don't want the manager to keep coming on. You know, that whole accountability to ourselves, to one another, as opposed to just being like, he tripping. No, you know, kind of corral your girl and be like, all right, let's chill out. If I got to come over here a third time, the conversation is going to be a little different, but the conversation is still going to be very much so personal and addressed to that particular table. Now, if they decide to cause a scene based on that conversation, other people around you would have observed that you've been over at that table more than once to have a conversation about the behavior. And they know, you know, but to publicly stand in the floor and use expletives as a business manager, as a business owner, about what you don't appreciate, and to give them the whole, like, it's a, like a lecture, this whole speech about how much you pay for them and what people don't appreciate is unnecessary. Because as a patron sitting at the table over in the corner who's just trying to have a good meal, who see the people pop locking and dropping is probably like, I wonder why they doing that here at this hour, but ain't none of my business. I would be offended by you coming into the middle of the floor having this public shaming of one's behavior, because it's inappropriate, okay? Now, on the patron side, again, if I'm at the table with all of this going on and we having a good time, and nobody doesn't want you to not have a good time because they want people to come back, and we understand that user experience is very important, especially in a place like a restaurant. If I'm with people who are doing things that are obviously causing an issue for the owner of the establishment, it's my responsibility as your good girlfriend, as your good Judy, as your boo, as your boy, as whatever, to be like, all right, girl, I need you to, okay, come on, I'm gonna need you to calm this down just a little bit. You know, I ain't trying to cause no scene. You know, he's come over here once, come over here twice. Child, this could get ugly. Let's kind of calm this down. But again, and in addition to that, you know, what we need to realize is that even though we don't necessarily agree with how he presented this particular message, this whole idea of canceling and, you know, I ain't never going to this establishment again, and, you know, I'm cutting him off and I'm not going to deal with him, is something that we really need to address. And I say this from a place knowing that I too have to work on this. So I'm not a hypocrite in any way. I acknowledge when I have a blind spot or when there's something going on. You know, we have endured as a community, companies, brands, persons being very vocal about how they feel about us as Black people. And if they haven't said something directly, it's come out in how they do their business. You know, Gucci with, you know, with their blackface bullshit. You know, all the different companies, and we still haven't, as a whole, withdrawn our support from these companies that we know don't give a damn about us. You know what I'm saying? That will be fine without us. Gucci's gonna be okay if Black folks decide that they're not gonna buy Gucci anymore. They're gonna be all right. You know what I'm saying? However, you know, we'll continue to support those people, but when a Black person's business does something, and this is a little different, I know, but it follows the same thought process. Like, let's be clear, he was wrong, and the patrons who were twerking on his shit were wrong. Neither one of them handled the situation properly, and if that cost him business, understandably so, because he did not handle it properly, you know? Not to say that if I ever went to Dallas, I wouldn't patronize this person's business, because he ain't offended me, at least not yet. But, you know, if she can't come back to this establishment, and who's to say she ever would want to come back to this establishment now that she went viral for popping on people's furniture, which she was asked not to. But, you know, whatever the repercussions that come are due in this particular situation. But I do think that we, as Black folks, need to analyze what we do with our support, because we're always talking about coming together and uniting and using our assets as one. But, you know, if we can't agree on these little nuances about who we gonna support and why we gonna support and when we gonna support and what's the rubric for when we determine we're withdrawing support, we're gonna have a tough time. We'll have a tough time. And we can't say in one breath that we only want to look out for us and we only want to do for us and we only want to support us if we're so quick to withdraw support when there's an issue, as opposed to assessing the situation for what it is. You know what I'm saying? Let's agree that both parties acted inappropriately. Okay? Let's agree that as a business owner, there's a heightened level of responsibility in your particular establishment to make sure that you rise to the occasion when you come into these particular situations. But does it mean that his business should be shut down? No. You know what I'm saying? And we just have to be careful about that. Because again, there are other brands, other companies, other people who have done far worse, who have said far worse, and they do it perpetually. systemically. Wow. Oh. Systemic. There we go. Systemically. They've done these things that create issues for us, and we still find ways to support them. And they'll be fine without us. And if they're not fine without us, so be it. You know what I'm saying? Because chances are there is a black alternative. We may have to search high and low for it. It may cost us a few extra dollars that provide a similar service, you know, of a similar quality, if not better quality. And so those are things that we really need to evaluate, especially if we're talking about moving forward and being united. And especially when we're calling for other people to be more empathetic and kinder towards us. If we're not exhibiting those same habits towards one another, then what are we really doing? What are we really doing? So anyway, I'm not going to harp and I'm not going to stand on my soapbox because I'm not that man who owned that business in Dallas. I know in a lot of ways I'm preaching to the choir and people already understand this. We are officially, I guess, in Christmas season because Thanksgiving is over. I know it's going to be very different for many people this year. Like I've said in the past, Christmas is not necessarily my favorite holiday. My family has experienced a lot of loss during this time. This last quarter of the year has been tough for both sides of my family. And I think over the years, that's really just kind of worn me down. And, you know, I definitely try to get into the spirit. And this year, I've made a concerted effort to say, I want to change this for myself. But everybody's not there. You know, everybody is not there. And I respect the fact that everybody's not there because it's taken me years to get to this point where I'm just making the concerted effort. I'm making the choice to say that I am not going to allow, you know, the loss that I've experienced during the holiday season to dictate holiday seasons moving forward. You know, the holiday season isn't dark. Those days were dark. Those times were dark. But there's a lot of joy and there's a lot of happiness and there's a lot of things to celebrate. There's an opportunity for me to create new memories and new traditions for myself and my family, which right now consists of me right now. But you know, there is a hope that that family will grow with a significant other, with children, and I want to do the work now so that when I introduce those elements into my life, you know, we can start those traditions and you know, those new histories on a solid foundation as opposed to a rickety one. So I encourage you all to do the same thing. Try to activate a little bit more kindness, a little empathy towards each other, towards black folks, towards people across the aisle. You know, we have a lot of diversity in our own world, from heterosexual to homosexual to asexual to trans to light skin, dark skin to religious and non-religious, agnostic to atheist. There's plenty of all of that in the Black community. And so we need to try to figure out a way to get along with all of those people within our own community and exercise empathy and kindness amongst ourselves first. And I think that that is a great way to carry, a great thing to begin to now to carry over into 2021, because we're going to need it, because we still got a rough road ahead. We still got some runoff elections that we got to get through. We still have a transition that we have to get through. And, you know, like all the credit people will tell you, it takes longer to repair the damage that you've done from the misuse of credit than it did to create the issue that you're in. So 4 years we've been in this cycle of issue, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are not going to be able to fix it all in the first 90 days of his presidency. So it's going to take some time, and so we're going to have to pack our patience. And in that time, if we are imploring a little bit more kindness, a little bit more empathy towards each other, one another, I think that's a good start. So I love y'all for real. Remember to like, share, rate, and all the other things that you can do to get the word out, to get people interested in the podcast. I have a new co-host, and I think he'll be an interesting guest to have on the show. So be looking for that in the coming months, because we haven't really decided when and what we'll talk about, but I'm intrigued. And we talked a little bit about kindness this past week, so I hope he's listening. I'm pretty sure he'll have some critiques for me. Anyway, I love y'all for real. Hope you have a fabulous Tuesday and the rest of your week.